Welcome to Cornerstone Baptist Church. We're in Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 9, continuing in the life of Joseph. Great story. Very entertaining to me, but obviously we're not interested in entertaining so much, but it's a story that you don't go to sleep on as you're listening to it. Genesis 39, 1 through 9. Hope you got your Bible with you and that you're following along, and maybe even a pen to mark some passages that could inspire you. So Genesis 39 in verse 1 says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph." Don't miss that. "And he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass after the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said unto his master's wife, 'Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Teach us what we need to know from it. Help us to have something that we can apply to our lives and use in the coming week. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many interesting things about the life of Joseph. You've heard me say that information without application is useless, and I might be giving you some of that useless information right now, but there's some things about the life of Joseph that, for instance, his coat seemed to get him in trouble. The coat that he wore his dad gave him ended up being the what they used to lie against him as they dipped his coat in kid's blood and tore it up and showed it to his father. And then the coat that he was wearing when Potiphar's wife made her move on him, he ended up losing that coat. And it was used as evidence against him. Now, what you do with that, I have no idea. What the application would be, I guess, what you wear matters. Be careful what coat you have on. I don't know. There's also something about typology in the Bible. Typology is the idea that a passage in the Old Testament points to Christ or an evangelical event or a Christian event in the New Testament. For instance, crossing the Red Sea is a picture of salvation in the Bible. Crossing the River Jordan is a picture of Christian commitment in the Bible. The Passover lamb is a picture of Christ, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And if you look at the life of Joseph, Joseph is a type of Christ that has many parallels. For instance, he was sent by his father to his brethren. Of course, Jesus was sent by his father to his brethren. Joseph sent by his dad to check on his brethren. He was rejected by his brethren. And we know that Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver, and Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. I suppose that was inflation. Just joking. He was falsely accused. Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and of course, Jesus was falsely accused by those that wanted to kill him. They took counsel to kill him, and obviously that happened to both of them. They were tempted to do evil, and neither one of them chose to do evil. Of course, Jesus could not, and Joseph did not. He was numbered with the transgressors, and this is very interesting to me. In jail, Joseph was between two individuals, the butler and the baker. Blessings to the butler and death to the baker. Jesus was hung between two thieves. One, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, and the other one died in his sin. So one died and one lived. And so obviously there's a lot of those things. If you go online, you can find them. There's way more than what I mentioned, but those seem to be the most relevant ones, or the ones that were most obvious to me. There are key events in our lives. And I think as a Christian, what we ought to hope for is the way that we act would be a type of Christ that people would see in us, hopefully, how we acted and how Christ would act or did act in the New Testament. We're influenced by preachers. A girl my age I saw walk through a doorway in a small Christian school who later became my wife. We're influenced through college, through career, through parents, deaths, you name it. Those events mold us into who we are, and of course for Christians, your relationship or lack thereof with Jesus Christ. Key events in our homes. You and I are the products of the people we have met, the information we have read or followed, the Bible, the books, TV, and of course encounters or bends in the road. I grew up in a Christian home that had all the highs and lows of the typical American family. I was blessed to have a dad and mom who were committed to each other and are still married today. And I believe that is one of the key reasons I am who I am today, because of the commitments of my parents. The Bible in our home, the Bible was our manual, love was our command, faith in God was our practice, and hope was our look to the future. With those ingredients, there was something that my father constantly preached to all of us, and I don't even know if he knew it. At times you've heard me reference that I was, this isn't in my notes, if you could get a sense of who I was as a young person, I was a down-in-the-mouther, if you will. My glass was always half empty. I mean, I had a great life. I lacked for nothing. Obviously, we didn't have a lot, but we didn't need a lot. But everything that went wrong, my tendency was to see the bad and not the good that we were. A typical example was we grew up in a home that, you know, when we were young, and I know we walked to school uphill both ways, barefoot, all those things, I know, but when we were young, there was really only a couple rooms in our house that were heated. Everything is central heat now. If you feel depraved if there's one room that's 10 degrees cooler than another room, well, in the typical old farmhouse, there would be the kitchen that was heated by the cook stove, and maybe you had a parlor stove, or we had a parlor stove in the den. We had two rooms that were heated. The rest of the house was not. When you went to bed at night, you were going to see your breath. You got under the blankets and you stayed there. And so I'd get up in the morning. I can remember one morning just being mad that it was cold, and I was tired of getting dressed in the cold. And of course, you wanted to get dressed fast. So I grabbed my pants and I went downstairs looking for a warm place to get dressed. And I looked at my father and I said, Dad, I'm so tired of getting dressed in the cold. And Dad always had a great attitude. He grabbed my pants and he held them up against the hot water tank beside the stove, trying to warm them up for me. He said, here, put those on. And really what I needed was a good slap. There was another time where the snowmobile was broken. And Dad, we had a box of spare parts for the snowmobile. And Dad said, go look in the spare part box and see if that part is there. I think we might have one. And I looked at him and I said, no, we won't have that. And then that's when he looked at me and he said, your attitude stinks. Well, it did. And I never forgot that, because, you know, for a lot of Christians today, I don't know if I should say this or not. You can turn the TV off if you want to. But for a lot of Christians today, our attitude stinks. And the key word that I want to emphasize this morning in the life of Joseph is attitude. We're going to see his attitude in three different areas. Number one, attitude. Obviously, you've heard the old sayings, attitude determines outcome. Someone has said whether or not you think you can, you're right. The definition of attitude in 1828 wasn't about your mental capacity on how you saw things. In 1828, 200 years ago, the definition of attitude was the posture or position of things or persons. In times of trouble, let the person preserve a firm attitude, or in other words, a strong posture on how he sees things. Attitude in 2020 is defined as a settled way of thinking or feeling about something, someone, or something. I want to stop right there and say, isn't it interesting in 2020 we want to define attitude as feelings? But 200 years ago, attitude was all about posture. We didn't consider how we felt about something. It was all about how you were going to address something. I think over the years, we've lost some things about the mental toughness of situations that we get into. I was saying with someone this week, we were meeting as a group of adults at a particular function. And we were talking about school starting in the fall and whether it's safe for kids to go to school and all of the debate that is going on now with the COVID thing. And I'm afraid we're scaring our kids. Our feelings are different and we're afraid of certain things. And that is being passed on to our children so that at this point, I'm afraid what we're telling them is in times of trouble, you better run and hide. Well, 200 years ago, in times of trouble, it was just a matter of whether you stand or whether you knelt, but how you addressed the situation. But feelings was not in the definition. I think we can learn some things from that. Attitude. Let's see what Joseph's attitude was. Joseph's attitude towards sin was fear. Don't miss this. Joseph's attitude of sin was fear. In our text this morning, we've already read it, just verse number 9. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He was saying to her, I wouldn't dare. It didn't even cross his mind. I'm afraid today when a good-looking woman comes along to a Christian man or any man for that matter, sad to say, I think our first thought might be, can I get away with this? Can we do this? Will anybody find out? And Joseph knew instantly, nothing is done in secret. God sees all, knows all, and he's watching us. So in temptation, his attitude towards sin was fear. Psalm 51 is the psalm that was written after King David confessed his sin and recognized that God had him, was confronting him through Nathan the prophet about his sin with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah the Hittite. And in verse number 4 of Psalm 51, David says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Well, it sure seemed like, David, you sinned against Uriah. Sure seemed like you sinned against Bathsheba. Sure seems like that it's more than just God. But David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done such evil in thy sight. Can you imagine the cavalier attitude that we have in sin today? The fear of the Lord is a reverential trust of God and a hatred of evil. You want power with God? Start practicing purity in your life. I'll say that again. Power with God. The straightest line to power with God is purity in the life of the believer. And I believe that Joseph had that. Question. What are you afraid of? If I were to ask you what the top three things that you are afraid of, you'd probably, I'm just throwing out some heights, fear of heights, fear of the unknown, fear of failure. Is sin one of the top three things that you are afraid of? If we were going to make a list this morning, very quickly, take a piece of paper and write down, what's top three things you're afraid of? Maybe divorce, financial disaster. I don't know. I suspect that sin would not make the list, possibly not make the top 10. And I'm afraid, Christian, we've lost our look at how God sees sin and how you and I handle sin. And the way I mean handle it is examine it, look at it, think about it, there ought not to cross our mind. How would I want to stand before God? Joseph said, how could I do such evil against the Lord? His attitude towards sin was fear. Number two, his attitude towards circumstances was faith. In our same text, or in our text this morning in Genesis 39, look with me at verse number 19. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and was there in the prison. Verse 21, you ought to underline this, but the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. His attitude towards sin was fear. His attitude towards circumstances was faith. Faith. Say that with me. Faith. How's your faith? How's your outlook on life? What do you think about what's going on in your world? Are you trusting God with it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. You know, a lot of things in life I've found don't make sense. A lot of things I look at and say, Lord, why is it that these things are happening? I don't understand, and it does not make sense. So we try to figure things out with our own understanding. And I'll talk to my wife about certain things, and we will commiserate or scheme together, if you will, not in a bad way, but just trying to reason out some things. Be careful about human reasoning in the plan of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Joseph's attitude is faith. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He'll not suffer you to, or allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Your faith in God should know that God will make a way. Whatever you're experiencing this morning, whatever you are going through, let me tell you something. Seriously, positively, God will make a way. God's faithful. Attitude term circumstances is faith. Benjamin Disraeli said, man is not the creature of circumstances. Circumstances are the creatures of men. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. His attitude towards sin was fear. His attitude towards circumstances was faith. And his attitude towards his brothers. Boy, don't you love those brothers? What a bunch of great guys. All of the events of his life were driven by the deceit and the deception of his brothers. His attitude towards his brothers was forgiveness. Boy, I'll tell you what. We need to have a little more forgiveness going on in America today. We need a little more forgiveness to those people that we deal with. You know, we're so ready for someone to forgive us, but we're so slow to forgive someone else. And Ephesians 4:32 should be the verse for America in the year 2020. I've quoted it in messages recently in the past, but here we go again. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Isn't it great to get forgiveness? But how about giving forgiveness? How about looking at someone and recognizing? How about putting yourself in their place and thinking about maybe what they're thinking and thinking about maybe what they're going through? Putting yourself in their circumstances. The old Indian proverb was, you're not supposed to judge a man or whatever until you've walked in his moccasins, walked in his shoes. Have you put yourself in the place of that person that you're just so tired of, so disgusted with? Can't believe they did that. I wonder if Joseph ever sat in his cell or in Potiphar's house or even in Egypt, and thought, I can't believe they did that. Well, I know he didn't, because he recognized God's plan. His attitude towards his brothers was forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Question, Christian, how's your attitude? You glass half full, half empty? I found that people with a bad attitude drain the attitude out of everybody else. But people with a good attitude are a blessing to others. I'll confess to you, I want to be liked. I want people to like me. I want to walk in a room and say, hey, this is Stan Griffin. I want to be around him. Now, granted, that doesn't happen very often. Maybe it's my attitude. But I'll tell you this. If you want to look at your life and say, there's a type of Christ right there, fill in your name. Is that a type of Christ? Is Stan Griffin a type of Christ? Is Emily Griffin a type of Christ? Do people look at us and see Christ? I'll tell you what, we can look at the life of Joseph and what he went through, and we can see Christ. Why? Well, I think a key element was his attitude and the decisions that he made, even in the face of adversity. You know what? We're going through some adversity in America today. Not nearly as bad as it could be, but it's there. Quite frankly, there's adversity every day. And in those times is our time as a Christian to shine with a smile on our face, in joy in our heart, with an attitude that exemplifies Christ, because God Almighty's got this, and what a difference that makes. Heavenly Father, thank you for the life of Joseph, for the things that we see in your word. We love knowing you. We love our Bible. We love the fact that we get to be Christians, that there is no situation in life that we can find ourselves in that we're not capable of getting through, because you promised you would make a way. Sometimes we're wandering in the dark, but sometimes you supply the light. So in the dark or in the light, I pray our attitude would be, I'm okay, because I'm a soldier in the army of the King of Kings, and my commander-in-chief is incapable of having a bad battle plan. Lord, we love you. I pray that every person under the sound of my voice has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. And then perhaps maybe we need to pray, Lord, I confess that my attitude stinks, and that's my fault, not yours. Help me to be an overcomer with confidence in you. Thank you for all that you've done. Work on our hearts every day. In Jesus' name, amen.